Ken Conley's here tonight. I want to ask you a question, Ken. Is that one of the original root names of the Scots, or do you know? Cody, you don't know? You know where the you know what the root meaning of the word for you Scots and my little bit of Scots heritage comes from? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I didn't know it till I traced it out, so I'm sure that not very many people know where the word American comes from either. So I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm really searching. If any of the rest of you here know? I mean, you know what the word Scotty, Scott means? You don't? How many of you know what the word Scythians mean? Everybody knows that. All you Scythians, stand up. I'm talking about etymologically now. This has nothing to do with Bible study or anything. Scythians are a people given a name in ancient archaeology and ancient history. Just like you have Parthians and Medes and Elamites. And some people, they couldn't give them a name. They just said dwellers in Mesopotamia. There are Scythians. You ever heard of Scythians? Any of you ever heard of Scythians? You know what it really means? It means the same thing as Scotty. Same thing. Just different languages, they mean the same thing. Now, didn't that clear it up for you? The Scots? Now, that's not my name. I mean, the people in Scotland. It means the same thing. You know what the word nomads means? Getting closer now, aren't we? You know what nomads means? What? Wanderers. They all mean the same thing. That's why you're so far from home, Ken. You fit the bill. The Scythians appear upon the horizon, and it's just another name, like in the Arab world, for years they've talked about nomadic tribes. In some countries they talk of aboriginal tribes, nomadic peoples. You trace it in its etymological roots, that's where the Scythians got their name. They were just nomads. The best they could do is say they came from the area originally between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, the territory of the Medes. Now, Iran happens to occupy the territory of the Medes today. Here's this strange Scythians. Strange, if we were to use a word and not transliterate, if we were to take the word from which Scots get their name, we would say they were Scots. Because Scots simply means wanderers. Isn't that strange? There's a bunch of people in a crazy little old island area of the British Isles that if they went anywhere would have to swim or fly. I mean, Scotland is the wanderer's land? Now, I'll have some wars with some etymologists out there, but not the good ones. It could just as easily have been called nomadic land, wanderer's land. See, I haven't even got to Scotland yet. I've been pilling around Ireland. I haven't got anywhere to the British Isles yet. And yet I've turned people around 55 times already. Now, my enemies have decided, he's flipped, he's gone into the cult land. And then those that thought I'm coming their way because I don't go far enough and I'm where I'm always at, plodding new territory in no man's land. You want to go to the 49th chapter of Genesis? We're only interested in one thing. You understand what we're interested in? We are trying to show that God is faithful to His Word and He doesn't have to be scared of anything. And as God proves His faithfulness, what do you think that does to our certainty of what we're going to do to the fourth horn of power? Or the promise He'll never leave you nor forsake you? Or the promise, I'm the Lord that healeth thee? We've been talking about Ireland. Let's back up a little. Let's look at some promises in the Bible. I want to go back to Jeremiah, but don't think I have time for Jeremiah tonight. Go to Genesis 49. Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Reuben, you're a mess. Simeon and Levi, you're cruel, miserable rats that I got to keep you apart or you're going to be troublemakers, so you're going to be separated. I'm going to divide you, scatter you in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. You know, a man's gift, make a room for him. Some people think that God expects to equalize everybody. No, it doesn't. Judah's a lion's whelp from the prey. Underline that. A lion's whelp. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. I want you to write in the margin of your Bible, because I'm going to come to this. The promise of the scepter, rulership, is not to the Jews. Now, the Jews are the kingdom of Judah, which also included Benjamin and Levi. It is to the line of Judah. That's why the ultimate rulership, Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is traced by Matthew back to Judah. A lot of people in Israel, a lot of ladies in Israel, a lot of families in Israel. God knew what He's doing when He picked the envelope of flesh into which He would move the life eternal to walk forth on the stage of history and be kin to us and voluntarily take upon Himself flesh and blood. I just can't avoid it. Even in giving out blessings, I still think I sound more like a preacher than some people. Sound like a Bible preacher. Even giving out blessings, he says, Issachar's a strong ass. God used colorful language. You get your attention. Couching down between two burdens. Dan, verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Now, I know exactly what you think that means. You think Dan's going to sit in all the trials and render the verdict like a judge as we see a judge. It's like... We need to understand biblical language. And in a sophisticated way, we make some of the same mistakes of the poor little old kid first time in Sunday school that had visions of you know what when it says David slept with his fathers. He didn't see anything special about it. He slept with his dad when it was cold and dark and he was scared. He didn't interpret that as death. Now, we need to understand this word judged. It means judgment, to be sure. Jordan is a combination of words that means spreading judgment, the river Jordan. But go back to Genesis chapter 30, verse 6. Cross-reference it in your margin. I'm only going to have people listening to me that are interested in finding out if God's word bears itself out. Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. That is, in the margin you'll find of some of your Bibles, judging. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the breastplate of righteousness worn on the breast of the priest? If you've listened to me preach, you sure have. Do any of you remember when we preached on it, we said one of its alternative names is the breastplate of judgment? Any of you remember that at all? Raise your hand if you did. Breastplate of judgment. Because the word as translated doesn't necessarily and always mean sitting with black robes on and passing judgment. It means designated, approved, and named as having passed or identified. It is the activity of deliberating and making a decision as a result of the deliberation and evidencing the decision. It has a much broader meaning than just pontifical judge sitting and determining the guilt or innocence of a criminal. You remember when we preached on the names of those that build up the work of God, the temple and the walls and Ezra and Nehemiah? One of the names, talked about the children of the flea, and we talked about dug from a pit. One of the names was simply judged of God. It meant past muster. Don't bring up anymore. Don't have to test it anymore. Don't have to look anymore. Don't have to decide anymore. Don't have to deliberate any longer. It's enough to know God passed on them and said they're okay. All that's embraced. Now, poor old Rachel wasn't some sinner that God had judged and put some brand on and said, "You dirty rat, now I've judged you and convicted you and condemned you and punished you, and after you've served your term, then I give you a kid." No, it means in Genesis 30, Rachel said, "God hath judged me. God hath looked on me, considered the evidence, heard my prayer, and made a decision." And the decision is, he's determined as a result of that decision, I can have a son, and he gives me a son, and therefore I name him Dan, the result of that scrutinizing and determinative designation. Follow what I'm saying? Now, when it says in the 49th chapter, go back to Genesis 49 again, Jacob is writing the future of Dan. Dan shall judge his people. That means Dan shall make some designations. Dan shall present some evidence and leave the testimonial. All that's involved in judging. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that ruled out is the activity of formal judging of convicted criminals or formal judging of indicted, accused people and reaching the conclusion of guilty or innocent. But that's a very limited aspect of judging. Judging includes deliberation and designation. Judgment includes leaving the designated opinion to stand. Judging includes decision making resulting in evidentiary testimony or designation. Results of having made a judgment and marking that judgment with an opinion declared. God's word is rich when you weave it through its tapestry. You really need to interpolate the word. It's like your sentence declared. Here's the breastplate. It's the breastplate of judgment. They're already there. God put the mark. It doesn't matter what you think of Judah. God says Judah's there. End of discussion. The breastplate of judgment, it doesn't mean it's a breastplate before which you quiver in fear. It literally means the high priest is a representative of God carries the names on his breastplate as an indication that from God's viewpoint he's made the determination. They're carried on his heart. Yet it's called the breastplate of judgment. Now, people tried to change it and call it the breastplate of righteousness, as though they had somehow obtained a rightness deserving the position. No, they were judged all right to be included in the designated area of God's heart. He cared for them. Now, judging is that designation, that opinion that leads to testimonial or report or decision. More properly, we ought to say, if Dan means judging, the act of judging, producing the result of judgment or decision or designation, then we can use Dan as synonymous with judge, right or wrong. And Dan as synonymous with judging. And when a decision has been made, it's been judged, right? And you seal the judgment with the mark of the judge, right or wrong. I put it in that frame. Then what Dan is really doing is Danning. Right? If a judge is judging, then a Dan is Danning. Right or wrong? Now what's the power of a judge? You get his, man, you can get a search warrant if you got a judge's name on it. Judge, whoop-de-doo. You can rip the place apart and bang the doors down. What authority? Judged. Got the judge's name on it. Then judged. Decision made. Judged. So, judge is involved in judging. And when the judge has judged, what's he do? He puts his name on it, right? The name signed is the indication, been judged. Right? Well, then old Dan, when he does his Danning, should have the Dan and should put his name on it, right? Is that right or wrong? If you understand the word right, that's what Dan's doing. He's running around the world Danning. Don't go changing as though you found some fancy meaning and Dan is the name of a tribe and then they judge. No, they don't. Dan Dan. That's why you call Dan Dan, because Dan Dan. Everywhere Dan Dan, Dan leads Dan Dan, which is Dan Dan Dan. Which means it's been Dan, got a name on it, which is Dan, because he's Dan and he's always Danning and he produces the Dan and he signs Dan and it's Dan. Learn to talk right. When a judge is always judging, he judged. When it's judged, he puts his judgeship's judge on it. Judge, judge. He doesn't sign John Doe, he says Judge Doe. Now, if they ever elect a judge to the bench whose name is Judge Judge, then when he signs his papers, it'll be Judge, Judge, Judge. That's the way they name people in the Old Testament. The name and their nature and their action became synonyms. Now understand what he says about Dan. Dan shall judge his people. That means Dan's going to be wherever he's with. He's one of the tribes. He shall judge his people as one of the tribes of who? Judah? Israel. I mean, wherever Dan goes around, Dan doesn't get much territory, by the way, in some places. Wherever Dan goes, Dan as one of the tribes is Danning, evidencing a decision, a judgment made. Right or wrong? No, I'm not saying they have to do that. I'm just saying, don't distort the meaning of the word. As we try to communicate faith, and you got to make a new word up to understand it and create a verb that doesn't exist in the English language, understand that Dan plays the whole gamut of both the nouns and the verbs of judging. Dan is a tribe so named because they were the product of a decision-making designation by God. God judged, responded, acted, and designated his decision. You shall have a child, and because of that process, Dan is named judging. Now, when Jacob names the blessings on the tribe, he says, Dan. I mean, I'd much rather be a judge than a strong ass couching down. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. That means wherever Dan goes, Dan's supposed to Dan, right or wrong. I mean, when a judge judges, do you know the judge judged? How do you know he judged? He signs his name. He evidences his judgment. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. Like Dan going to walk along and eat the dust. One of the translations very much allowed. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, shall leave a serpent's trail. I mean, whether you're a sidewinder or a crawler, a snake leaves a sort of erratic path.